saw. I left the debris on the floor. Coming in while they snore. Listen to the warning. Knock, knock, no it's us. Vroom, vroom when we pulling up. Stop, drop, tell them hit the floor. Boom, boom, and yeah, we blowing up. Ones that they asked for. We've been running up the stats more. Came in through the back door.
Welcome to Yacht Crew Vlogs, where we tell the stories of those in the yachting industry. A behind-the-scenes look that discovers the individuals in the industry, their history, their passions, and what inspires them to do what they do.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest, Yaron Watts. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And thank you so much for introducing me on your show. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it is absolutely my pleasure. You are the founder and a chief innovation officer of Exo Technologies. And the reason you came to my attention and I found you very fascinating was I saw an article back in June about the launch of the world's first recyclable powerboat. And, you know, we are in a day and age when everyone, and not just the maritime industry, but everybody around the world is talking about recycling and sustainability and, you know, everything. You know, we're going electric, we're doing this, we're doing that. And nobody's actually solving any problems. But I know you have an opinion on that because we talked a little bit off air. I want to start off with you and why you are so passionate about what it is that you are doing with Exo Technologies. Where are you from? And your formative years in life, what did you do?
Well, basically, let's say I won't start at Adam and Eve because it will be a very long story.
Yeah.
My basic background is in sailing. I've always been sailing since I was really a young kid, till, let's say, from little dinghies, till keelboats, till offshore, till ocean racing, and did some ocean racing campaigns, won a couple of them. And start to build boats. Basically, it is always what I wanted to do when I was a young boy, like building sailing boats, developing them. So that's what I did for about 16 years. But the last years of that work, I start to read more and learn more about what I was doing. And it's a very double feeling, you know, because in one end you make super high performance sailing yachts, like a boy's dream, win everything around the world, track record, huge, beautiful. But on the other hand, you know, end of life solution, I have no idea. Sustainability. So basically my main passion is sailing. That always considered it as main passion is sailing, but my passion for sustainability is bigger. And from the moment I start to realize that that what I was doing was on one end super fantastic, on the other hand, really bad, I stopped. Stop means that I put, let's say, concern, awareness, experience in a blender and start to invent something which is sustainable, which is recyclable, which is circular. That means repeatedly recyclable without losing mechanical properties. I won't go too much in technical details about that. And superior to fiberglass solutions, because basically people want something which is better than what they used to have before. You know, sustainability is still sort of named as being weak, as being inferior. Well, it's not. And at Exo Technologies, me and my partners started to develop, let's say, the thing I came up with and made it much bigger and wider, the testings, and a lot of investments are done in making this where we are today. And that's a long journey. Well, long in a way, I think it's still pretty quick done, but it's not the journey where, let's say, you put a little bit of pepper and salt in a blender and something comes out of it and ta-da, it works. It's not like that. But we prove now with the launch of Police Scotland that it works, yeah.
Well, let me ask you. I mean, we saw the boat, and of course, I will have pictures of the boat when this interview airs. It's fully recyclable, but it still has the engines on the back.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
So what are the steps as far as, you know, are you changing the engines? Are you looking at options?
Yeah, well, that's something, the next step, what you want to do. When you want to come up to an ultimate solution when it comes to, let's say, composite renewal, let's say recyclable composite, you have to keep your focus there. If you do, let's say, propulsion, composites, and other elements, you do three things, and they're all three won't be 100% as it is today. So we open up some discussions with some partners, potentially strategic partners, because, well, at Exit Technology, they always call me the eco warrior, because I'm always like, well, we cannot put outboards behind it, and so on and so on. From Exit Technology is as well a hull design. So we made a hull, we created a hull, which is, let's say, fuel efficient. So you use less fuel. And it has a hydraulic lift, being able to carry next generation propulsion system. I talk about hydrogen, or let's say, well, not sustainable at all, but let's say batteries. Batteries is still in a way where, when you want to have, let's say, an MOD boat, or let's say a law enforcement boat, or let's say an offshore work boat, let's call this, then the batteries are just not good enough, because in 30 minutes full throttle, batteries are empty. And so from that perspective, we just have not a solution yet to answer that. Still, there's a lot of developments going on in terms of hydrogen. You see, for example, Emirates, New Zealand, in the America's Cup, their chase boat is done with Toyota hydrogens and propulsion. Pretty interesting. So these are partners, for example, if Toyota Hydrogen or Emirates Team New Zealand will listen to this and say, well, listen, guys, we can help you out getting a hydrogen propulsion in your hull system with a sustainable composite. Well, we're all ears, because we cannot do everything. That's the point. So you have specialists in every field. Composites is what I've did for, let's say, 16, 17 years. So I know a lot about it. So that's why I came up with Danu. Boat designs and everything is what I did since forever. And the hull design was done by John Moxon, which is the most renowned powerboat designer in the world. So we came on a certain level already far. But when it comes to propulsion, well, it's very interesting. We are very interested to open a dialogue with strategic partners to make the next step towards sustainability. Absolutely.
Let me ask you, the world is talking sustainability, and a lot of people, and we're talking both on water and on land, are talking electric. Mm-hmm. Now, when we talk electric, as far as the research that I've done and in conversations off air with you, it's not really sustainable, is it?
Well, basically, every sustainable story has two factors. So if you take the magnifying glass on the propulsion, let's say the electric propulsion, yes, it's maintenance free, zero emission. I'm completely in favor of that. You know, the fossil fuels are the Flintstones. We should stop with that. Everybody should agree with that. I still love the sound of a V8 and everything, sure, or a V12. Just, I love it.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's just a growl, isn't it?
Just don't ignore that one. Just, it is basically as it is. But we have to stop that. But if you take it from a sustainable point of view, and that's with many industries like that, just electric is the way to go. The way to store your electricity is a very nasty way at this moment. So power boats and sailing boats are different. Let's say my background, sailing. So I talked about a friend who said, well, I want to have an electric motor in my new sailing boat and take the diesel out. So, okay. So it's a 35 foot boat, class A, CE. So that means you need to run, for offshore regulations, 5 knots boat speed to meet, you know, on when your mast breaks or whatever. That's 20 kilowatt hour of battery needed. Well, 1 kilowatt hour battery is producing 200 kilograms of CO2. So 20 kilowatt hour of battery is 4,000 kilograms of CO2 production, which is the equivalent of 2,500 liter diesel. And 2,500 liter diesel on a sailing boat, that's what you never burn in your life. That brings you from, let's say, Rotterdam, I'm from the Netherlands from origin, to New York and back, and then around England, and still you have enough fuel. for a boat, you just pop out of the port, let's say 2 knots, hoist your sail, switch off your engine, off you go.
Yeah.
And so that's not a sustainable story. That's not. Still, I'm still in favor of electric propulsions and electric alternative.
That's the storage of that electricity. That is the issue, because
that's an issue. But I think at a certain point we need, you know, when you are starting to develop something, you never come, let's say, the Wright brothers who invented the plane. They didn't invent the space shuttle, but they created, let's say, the base to make it from till the Airbus A3, whatever, 80, yeah, and so on. So you just cannot wait forever till somebody founds the Holy Grail. You just have to go along a pathway to find the Holy Grail. With the composite way, we found the Holy Grail, but it's a long way of working and starting to invest and do tests, and things didn't work, and we did other things and didn't work, and then we did other tests and start to work, and then we did other things and it really worked, and then it was really brilliant. But when it comes to propulsion, yeah, or other ways, I think you just need to go for a certain way. I'm not a politician, by the way, but I think we should stop taxing, stop giving tax weavers on electric cars and all these kind of things, because it's not that green. Just drive it. Just be happy with it. Yeah, if you have a 400 horsepower Tesla, just pay whatever you need to pay. Like, everybody pays a lot for a car. You know, I pay my tax here on the Isle of Man on my car. The Tesla, you don't pay tax. It's still, I can drive a lot of miles or a lot of kilometers producing the same number of CO2 as the production of just that battery. Did you know, for example, on a battery topic, that I just ask you the question, just pop a question, maybe you know. To make 1,000 kilograms of lithium, how much water do you need?
I have no idea.
Not rough, just do a guess.
I wouldn't have a clue.
1.8 million liters of water.
Yeah. Wow. And what, they have an end life too, don't they? They're not forever. There's actually an end life.
Well, it's not entirely true. Lithium can be recycled. But the recycling process is so bloody expensive that you throw it away. So the recycling, the recycled materials are just as good as the virgin ones, but more expensive. So what the industry does, throw it away and buy new, because new is cheaper than recycled. So in a circular economy, only works when the virgin materials are more expensive than the recycled materials and their quality is the same. That's when the circular economy starts to work.
And that's exactly what your company is all about. I mean,
circular economy is completely our thing.
Do you think that the industry, in its marketing and in its, you know, we see that there are trends around the world and, you know, everybody's jumping on a bandwagon or another. Do you think the industry greenwashes sustainability and recycling?
Completely, 100%. Not 100%. There's quite some. There's a few companies I communicate with just on a friendly basis and share some ideas and how we do things. Small startups, companies, really doing interesting thing. But in general, I think greenwashing is a big thing in the yachting industry. For example, my sister doesn't know so much about boats. She pointed out, "Hey, they saw a sustainable boat. They saw a sustainable story." And I thought, okay, that's interesting, because, well, that's straight in my field. So I'm really curious to read it. And then she sent it through, and I won't say the name here on and where they are from and everything, because it's just not nice to do. Yet, it's not a sustainable story. It's an electric zero-emission story. It's a zero-emission story. It's not a sustainable story. So I think in every aspect of the industry, and it's not only the boating industry, but it's in the car industry and everything, is start with education. Just be completely open and honest what your proposition is. Zero emission is a good thing. Fine. Not sustainable. Zero emission, fine. And so we try to solve, as XO, we already solved, let's say, the other part of the story. As a sidestep, it's not in the boating, not in the yachting industry where we are on Yachting International Radio, but let's say wind turbine manufacturers sell a green story. And especially right now, all these offshore wind farms, these bids from governments and Europe and the Netherlands and offshore wind parks is really growing, because we need to be less dependent on oil and gas from Russia, you know, since March, unfortunately. That's a green story, you know, because it's wind, create electricity, or they make now hydrogen out of that. Perfect, fine, it's green. It's not always green, because at the end of life for the wind turbine blades, there's no solution. And the effects are staggering. There's 43 billion kilos, there's 43 million tons, and a landfill between today and 2050 in landfill, buried away. Well, the solution we have here on our desks, you know, here, I got it here in front of me, like ExoWind, we call it, like ExoMarine for boats and ExoWind for wind and so on. So there's still a lot to gain, but just make your proposition understandable for taxpayers and consumers and everything, what the proposition actually is about. So you can go winds, can go completely circular, green, and so on. But still, then we have to make a breakthrough in order to make these steps to go there. And from that point, I think, yeah, there's still a lot to do, still a lot.
Do you think that maybe the general public isn't educated enough? And perhaps when it comes to, because I know in North America, we tend to have a lot of laws when it governs how we market our products, because there has to be a certain amount of truth in the story, sure, as it were, yeah, when you're selling your product to the consumer. Is that something that is lacking, do you think? Do you think that we really need to possibly get more education? Because I don't know if perhaps we walk down the street tomorrow and ask somebody what the difference between sustainability and zero emissions was. Would they know? Or the word green and sustainability, or a circular economy? You know, some of these things, people just sort of think it's all one.
Yeah, people think it's all one. Not everybody, but still, I think, in my opinion, is that education starts with as well the side effect of what the proposition is. Like electric cars, I can completely hear, well, I live on the Isle of Man, so let's say from the south to the north is about 55 kilometers. Electric cars would be perfectly fine because you have zero emission and so on and so on. But then you need to understand, where does the electricity come from? Is it come from wind and solar, or is it come from fossil fueled or gas turbine electricity? So all these kind of things you need to bear in mind. And so when somebody buys into a sustainable product to do something for the planet or to contribute on their level, pay maybe a little bit more to be more sustainable and so on, then the whole proposition should be very honest and open on what you buy into. And it cannot be a marketing story. It is in favor, market the sustainability. Everybody talks about it. Sustainability. And it's definitely needed. Just we cannot put our hand in the sand about it, because climate change and everything, it's just actually happening. You just cannot avoid it. You're going to say, well, it's a hoax or whatever, because it's not. It's actually happening. So we need to do something. But in order to create demand, we need to make sustainability accessible, affordable, superior. And these materials and these answers are out there, to the point where some governments say, well, we pledge to be carbon neutral in 2050. That's in 28 years. I can tell you there's a lot of young generation, young kids from 15 till, let's say, 25 years old, inventing stuff that goes way beyond our brains. Give them a podium to develop.
Yeah.
So it starts with making changes, but nobody can make change overnight.
Your product now, you know, because of course I'm talking in the yachting industry and you come from the marine background and sailing, but your product could essentially be in anything. I mean, for example, you know, my logging roots back in northern British Columbia, Canada. I mean, your product is literally something that can go in automobiles, in trucks, in backhoes, in armored cars, in, police armor, in helmets for bikes, et cetera. I mean, it literally is a composite that can be used to build just about anything.
Not entirely true, to be honest. When I talk, let's say, from my background in ocean racing, when I talk, let's say, to Volvo Ocean, which is now the Ocean Race, not Volvo Ocean Race anymore, but talk Ocean Race, we don't have always the answers to that, you know, because when it comes to a certain grade of stiffness and weight, which is, let's say, prepreg carbon fiber with a Nomex core, is so light and so stiff, and everything which moves on the sailing boat is loss of energy, is loss of speed. So you need to have it super stiff and super light. We don't have an answer for that. So we can make a boat which runs around the world and stay in one piece, and it's a sustainable story, but it won't break a record.
Right.
because it will be more heavy. When it comes to all fiberglass and majority of carbon fiber products, yes, we have an answer. So from that perspective, we talk to train manufacturers because we have a lot of impact resistant because the material can be even ballistic. That's called the Exoprotect proposition. So the high speed trains who suffer, let's say, from stones flying to the nose of the train at 340 kilometers an hour, they just bounce off. Talk to wind, talk to body armor protection companies. So name it. So that's we have an answer for that. So it's a pretty wide proposal where we have a solution for. And we tried now to open dialogues with, let's say, market leader in a certain space who look for a solution and join, let's say, an R&D alliance. Let's say we do it together. Life rafts, as you say, helmets, name it. Because basically a lot of things, you come to a point where you're saying, okay, never thought about that. This should work. But for example, I never made in my life a helmet or let's say a nose of a train. So you have specialists in market leading train manufacturers. They know exactly what they want. I know what I have. So what we try to do right now is to say, well, let's work together. Let's see if it works. Let's make a prototype. Let's drive the train. Let's throw stones on it or whatever. And so just, well, not that like that, you have all these laboratory testing and so on, just a matter of speaking. So I really try to reach out right now to market leaders in outside or inside the marine industry to say, well, knock my door, just send me a message and see how we can work together in making a affordable, superior, sustainable solution for anything. And it's not for, maybe sometimes I have to say, sorry, no answer for that, cannot help you. Sometimes like, okay, this might be possible, or like, for example, life rafts. You know, you have weight reduction, you might throw them off a SOLAS life raft. The impact of a life raft in the water is tremendous. So fiberglass will crack. Carbon fiber will snap, so that will pierce the fibers into the life raft. And I assume that we have a solution for that, but I assume it's not a scientific proof. But so now we're going to be opened with a few of life raft manufacturers. So let's make a shell, a container of a life raft, and see if it works. So we just have the engineering schedules. And so this is how you do it right now. This is how we suggest how you do it. You have some weight reduction, maybe cost price reduction, or maybe the same cost price, impact resistance, sustainability, and we have solution for your proposition in the market. And maybe it doesn't work. I expect it to work, but you need to have a scientific proof for something we never built before. We have the composite solution. They have the knowledge of making a train, a life raft, a wind turbine blade, name it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I find it absolutely fascinating. And I am going to make sure that I provide all of your information at the bottom of this interview when it airs, because I think it's extremely important that while we do talk about sustainability, we do talk about our carbon footprint, we do talk about zero emissions, I think one of the most important things that we don't talk about as much as we should is the circular economy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because everything that you do that is good for the environment or better for the environment that you've ever done before, if it doesn't have that circular economy, there's still something left over that is damaging the planet.
Absolutely. Basically, the good thing is, for apart from the fact that our composite is sustainable, recyclable, and repeatedly recyclable, so circular, is that as well as for health and safety is better. When you throw it away, it's nature goes back to nature, so it doesn't harm. Still,
yep.
Not smart to throw it away, but still, if you would throw it away or a boat will sink, you know, can happen, then don't harm the planet. And so from that point, you know, you cannot save the planet. You can't. Just save yourself. That's what we need to do, that everybody needs to understand that you don't save the planet by doing things, but you have to save yourself, because the planet will be fine. It's just fine. All the climate change and everything that we're doing, there's just no one left anymore. Not my dog who's sleeping behind me or whatever, next generation and fish in the sea and so on. Just need to save yourself.
Well, for everybody out there that's listening to this, yeah, you know, if you think that the next guy is going to do his part and that means you don't have to do yours, well, you know, if every single one of us thought that way, we're not going to be here in a few years.
Yeah.
I mean, really, that's what it comes down to.
few years, very, very pessimistic, but you have to think as well about the next generation and generation next.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Well, I want to say thank you ever so much for your time.
Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to have this interview. Really liked it. Thank you, Ria.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm going to make sure that, I suggest contacting them. I don't care what industry you're in, because I'm sure that there are people out there that watch my interviews that aren't necessarily in yachting, the wider marine industry, and as well, those that are just enthusiasts. Check this product out. If you're in the building or manufacturing aspect of things, and that's a product that you tend to use, contact them. It's a start.
I'm really open to walk them through what we are doing and see if there's something interesting for both parties to see, let's say, pick it up and do something on our R&D level before we jump into serial production. Then you start to learn exactly what you can do and what you can't do, what you want to achieve and what you don't want to achieve. So put your objectives on the table, your expectations on the table, and we just make something around it. Because basically the good thing is every fiberglass manufacturer who uses vacuum infusion, which is the majority does it right now, can switch tomorrow to this. They don't need to have any other materials, no new molds, no new education of their staff. Just you can switch overnight without any problems or whatsoever.
The company is Exo Technology. My name is Ria. I have been your host. We'll see you again next time.